Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John. That is Britzy. She's the beautiful.
He's the nerdy.
And welcome to week one of the spooky season. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be reading to you classic creepypastas. Okay, breaking all character though, I am super big on the spooky season. There will be a new podcast each week, whether we will be doing it here on the Sylph Center or whether we're going over to AI Writers Club, there will be a new podcast each week of October. Please do enjoy, as we know we are going to. So
I know I'm gonna love it.
This one, so Britzy, we're gonna give you a quick rundown of what Britzy knows on creepypastas. She knows Kisaragi Station, the creepypasta version. And she has, on this very show, done some AI-created creepypastas. So she's not all the way in the dark about it. But today, we will show her the cream of the crop. And from my understanding, have you ever heard of the Strider?
No.
All right.
The only one I've heard of is the Kisaragi Station one.
So, with all that aside, just to warn you all, these are word for word from the creepypasta2.fandom.com. So, if these are not the original versions of these creepypastas, we are sorry, but these are the ones we could find. And we are assuming, due to it being a creepypasta fandom site, that this is very much the closest we're going to get, right, if not right on. Either way, please do enjoy. And we'll see what she thinks about the Strider. It was late afternoon, and I was walking home. I was almost out of the forest when I saw a bush rustle, and I heard quiet footsteps. They were rapid. I thought it was a deer. There aren't many deer, and I love to see them, so I followed the noise. It led me to a clearing in the part of the forest I had never been before. When the creature walked into the clearing, I was shocked. It was almost 15 feet tall and had black, shaggy, thick fur. Its face seemed oddly dog-like, and it had large, almond-shaped, blank, black eyes. Its legs were long and spindly, and ended in a sharp point. I had never seen a creature like this before, and there was blood on its mouth. It paused for a moment, as if sensing what was nearby. Then it looked directly at me. The moment it set its eyes on me, I knew it was a mistake to follow the strange noise. It seemed like the creature could see my soul. I ran as fast as I could in one direction, but what seemed like hours of running, and I still couldn't find the end of the forest. I knew I had only followed that sick creature for a few minutes, but hours of running couldn't get me back. I was lost. I checked behind me for the creature, and I saw it wasn't following me. I relaxed a little, but I was still tense from the fact I can't get out. I heard a voice ahead of me, so I sprint to it. I finally emerged from the forest on the sidewalk. The voice had been the police. My mother ran over and hugged me from behind. I screamed, thinking it was the beast. I guess I had been in that forest for a while, and my mom got worried. I got home and forgot all about that monster in the endless forest. I sat up in bed and put on my glasses to see the clock. 2:39 it read. I wonder what had woken me for a moment, then I decided I'd just had a nightmare but don't remember it. I try to go back to sleep, but it eludes me. I go to get a drink of water and I hear a tapping. I look out the window, but it's too dark to see anything. I dismiss it as a branch. I get my water and hop into the bed. I fall asleep after a while and wake up with a jolt from my nightmare. I was being chased by that beast endlessly until its extreme speed had gotten it close to lunge a meter in the air and launch straight on top of me. I checked the clock. 9:34 it said. I had slept in with a nightmare. Great, I thought. I wasted a few hours of my day and I got scared out of my skin. I walked downstairs to get some breakfast, but oddly no one else was there. Probably went to work early, I told myself, but I felt like someone or something was watching me. I knew I didn't have a guardian angel, Because if I did, then that creature never would have looked at me. I thought a bit about the creature and that it might have kidnapped my parents, or worse, it could have killed them. I went online and searched around. I only found a small bit of information about the creature. It was called a strider. It hunts animals and tears off their legs before feasting on their bodies. If a human follows them, then they will hunt down that person until they are dead. The thought that the strider would not stop until I was dead is unsettling. I researched until lunchtime and only found that no one that encountered the monster survived more than a few months after the encounter. I also found a few other names that people called that thing, Stiltwalker and Forest Strider. It was time that my parents came home from work for their break, but they didn't. I called their work, but I was told they hadn't come. I called 911 to report missing people. After the police left, I decided to end this. I walked to the forest and followed the tracks I had made in the mud to the clearing. The strider stood tall and strong over a decapitated cow elk. There was gore and entrails everywhere around the carcass. I felt like I was going to be sick, but I spoke to the creature. If I give you my life, will you leave my parents alone? I yelled at the hideous animal. It quickly looked at me and began to slowly creep towards me. It made no sound as it stalked. When it was close enough, it lunged. Just like my nightmare. Only I didn't run away. Months passed and the news of the murdered child had died down. No one had seen me or my parents since the murder. The strider still walks the forest in search of its next meal. If you enter the forest in the late afternoon, then be prepared and don't follow that strange noise. So that was the strider. What do you think about the strider? This is one of my favorite beasts of all time. It's absolutely horrifying. And of course, there's this image of this beast. I love the way this classic image is drawn.
I like how he's portrayed, too.
It's absolutely fantastic. I also just love how mysterious it is. I also think that this is one of those that feel more like a cryptid than a creepypasta. Though, right. As you'll see, creepypastas usually are a little bit less realistic than this.
Right.
But I started here because I think it was just a really good, solid one to begin on. Either way, let's go right in to Sonic.exe. I'm a total Sonic the Hedgehog fan, much like everyone else. I like the newer games, but I don't mind playing the classics. I don't think I've ever played glitchy or hacked games before, though I don't think I want to play any after the experience I had. It started on a nice summer afternoon. I was playing Sonic Unleashed. I like how you got to explore the towns in it. Till I noticed, out of my peripheral vision, that the mailman had arrived and put something in my mailbox as usual, and left. I paused my game to go see what I got in the mail. The only thing in the mailbox was a CD case for computers and a note. I took it inside. I looked at the note first and then realized it was from my dear friend Kyle, let's just call him that, whom I hadn't heard from in 2 weeks. I know that because I recognized his handwriting. Though what was weird is how it looked. It looked badly written and scratchy and somewhat difficult to read, as if Kyle was having a hard time writing it down and did it in a hurry. This is what he wrote. Tom, I can't take it anymore. I had to get rid of this thing somehow before it was too late, and I was hoping you'd do it for me. I can't do it. He's after me, and if you don't destroy this CD, he'll come after you too. He's too fast for me. Please, Tom, destroy this godforsaken disc before he comes after you too. It was too late for me. Destroy the disc and you'll destroy him. But do it quick, otherwise he'll catch you. Don't even play the game. It's what he wants. Just destroy it. Please, Kyle. Well, that was certainly weird. Even though Kyle is my best friend and I haven't seen him in 2 weeks, I didn't do what he asked me. I didn't think that a simple gaming disc would do anything bad to him. After all, it's just a game, right? Boy, was I wrong about that. Anyway, I looked at the disc and it looks like any ordinary computer CDR disc, except it had black marker on it written Sonic.exe. And it was much unlike Kyle's handwriting, meaning that he must have gotten it from someone else, like a pawn shop or eBay, When I saw Sonic on the writing of the CD, I was actually excited and wanted to play it, since I'm a big Sonic fan. I went up to my room and turned on my computer, put the disc in, and installed the game. When the title screen popped up, I noticed that it was the first Sonic game. I was like, awesome. Because like I said earlier, I like the classics. The first thing I noticed that was out of place when I pressed start, there was a split second when I saw the title's image turn into something much different. Something that I now consider horrifying before cutting to black. I remember what the image looked like in that split second before the game cut to black. The sky had darkened. The title emblem was rusted and ruined. The Sega 91 was now Sega 666. And the water had turned red like blood, except it looked hyper-realistic. But the freakiest thing that was in that split second frame was Sonic. His eyes were pitch black and bleeding with two glowing red dots staring right at me. And his smile had stretched wider up to the edge of his face. I was rather disturbed about that image when I saw it, though I figured that it was just a glitch and forgot about it. After it cut to black, it stayed like that for about 10 seconds or so, and then another weird thing happened. The save file select from Sonic 3 popped up, and I was like, what the fuck? What's this doing here in the first Sonic game? Anyway, then I noticed something was off. The background was dark, cloudy sky of the Bad Stardust Speedway level from Sonic CD. There was only 3 save files. The music was that creepy Caverns of Winter music from Earthbound, only it was extended and seemed to have been in reverse. And the image for the save file where you see a preview of the level you're on is just red static for all 3 files. What freaked me out more was the character select. It showed only Tails, Knuckles, and to my surprise, Dr. Robotnik. Now I was sure that something was up. I mean, how can you play as Robotnik in a classic Sonic game, for crying out loud? That's when I realized that this wasn't a glitchy game, it was a hacked game. Yeah, it definitely looked hacked, it was really creepy, but as a smart gamer I wasn't scared. Or at least I tried not to be. I told myself that it was just a hacked game and there's nothing wrong with that. Anyways, shaking off the creeped out feeling I had, I picked file 1 and chose Tails, and when I selected it, it started immediately. The game froze for about 5 seconds and I heard a creepy pixelated laugh that sounded an awful lot like that Kefka guy from Final Fantasy, before cutting to black. The screen stayed black for about 10 seconds or more. Then it showed the typical level title thing, except the simplistic shapes were different shades of red, and the text showed only Hill, Act 1. The screen faded in, and the level title vanished, revealing Tails in the Green Hill Zone from Sonic 1. The music was different, though. It sounded like a peaceful melody in reverse. I started playing and had Tails start running like you would in any of the classic Sonic games. What was odd was that as Tails was running along the level, there was nothing but flat ground and a few trees for 5 minutes. That was when the peaceful music started to lower down into slow, deep tones. Very slowly, as I kept going. I suddenly saw something. I stopped to see what it was. It was one of those small animals lying dead on the ground, bleeding. That was when the music started to slow down. Tails had a shocked and saddened look on his face that I never saw him have before, so I had him move along. And he kept that worried look on his face. As he kept moving, I saw more dead animals as Tails moved past them, looking more and more worried as the music lowers and he moves past more dead animals. I was shocked to see how they all died. They looked like someone killed them in rather gruesome ways. Squirrel hanging on a tree, what appeared to be his entrails hanging out. Bunny had all 4 of his limbs torn off, and a duck had his eyes gouged and throat slit. I felt sick to my stomach when I saw this massacre, and apparently so did Tails. After a few seconds, there were no more animals, and the music seemed to have stopped. I still kept Tails to continue. I'm going to go ahead and just stop here for a second, and I'm going to tell you guys that I'm not reading this wrong. This thing keeps on freaking making some weird typos and stuff, and I keep on having to freaking deal with it. Sorry for the interruption. Now back to the story. After a minute passed after the music stopped, Tails was running up a hill and then he stopped. It wasn't until I saw why Sonic was there on the other side of the screen with his back against Tails with his eyes closed. Tails looked happy to see Sonic, but then his smile faltered. Obviously, noticing that Sonic wasn't responding to him, if not acting as if he was totally oblivious of Tails' presence, Tails walked slowly toward Sonic. Notice that I wasn't even moving my keyboard to make it move, so this had to have been a cutscene. Suddenly, I began to have a growing feeling of dread as Tails walked closer to Sonic to get his attention. I felt that Tails was in danger, and something bad was going to happen. I heard faint static growing louder as Tails was but inches away from Sonic. Stop and stuck his hand out to touch him. That foreboding feeling in my gut was stronger. I felt the urge to tell Tails to get away from Sonic as the static grew louder. Suddenly, in a split second, I saw Sonic's eyes open, and they were black with those red glowing dots again. Just like that title image. Though there wasn't a smile. When that happened, the screen turned black, and the static sound was off. It stayed black for about 7 seconds, and then white text appeared, forming a message, saying, "Hello, do you want to play with me?" At this point, I was creeped out. I didn't want to continue with the game, but my curiosity got the better of me when I was taken to a different level, with the level title now saying, "Hide and Seek." That was the first bit of Sonic EXE. It's a little bit long to have me do the whole thing on a podcast like this. However, in November sometime, I might go ahead and do an uncut version, having all of the dialogue in. Right now, we kind of got to move on. What do you think about Sonic EXE? Mm-hmm. He is a monster inside of a PC game. Pretty fun stuff, if you ask me. Sorry I actually had to cut that short, but my god, it's so long.
Right.
Like I said, somewhere in November or something later on, I might actually do a uncut version containing the rest of the story and throw it up as a bonus. But right now, we got to keep things moving a little bit. So let's move on to our last one of the day. So this next one is known as Smile Dog. Now, I have gone ahead and shown Britzy the Smile Dog image. And first of all, what do you think of him?
I don't like him.
He's freaking horrifying. The Polaroid looks messed up in so many ways, it's not even funny. And human teeth in a dog mouth is just...
really horrifying.
You wouldn't think it would do so much difference, but it ain't my favorite, that's for sure.
Right.
The story here is by author unknown, by the way. This is, I'm pretty sure we knew the last two authors, but here we have no idea who made this one. But it's known as one of the biggest classics of all time. I first met in person with Mary E. in the summer of 07. I had arranged with her husband of 15 years, Terrence, to see her for an interview. Mary had initially agreed, since I was not a newsman, but rather an amateur writer gathering information for a few early college assignments. And if all went according to plan, some pieces of fiction. We scheduled the interview for a particular weekend when I was in Chicago on unrelated business. But at the last moment, Mary changed her mind and locked herself in the couple's bedroom, refusing to meet with me. For half an hour, I sat with Terrence as we camped outside the bedroom door, listening and taking notes while he had fruitlessly attempted to calm his wife. The things Mary said had little sense, but fit with the pattern I was expecting. Though I could not see her, I could tell from her voice that she was crying. More often than not, her objections to speaking with me centered around an incoherent diatribe on her dreams, her nightmares. Terrence apologized profusely when we ceased the exercise, and I did my best to take it in stride. Recall that I wasn't a reporter in search of a story, but merely a curious young man in search of information. Besides, I thought at the time I could perhaps find another similar case if I had put my mind and resources to it. Mary E. was the system op for a small Chicago-based bulletin board system, BBS, in 92 when she first encountered Smile.jpg, and her life changed forever. She and Terrence had been married for only 5 months. Mary was one of an estimated 400 people who saw the image when it was posted on as a hyperlink on the BBS. Though she is the only one who has spoken openly about the experience. The rest have remained anonymous or are perhaps dead. In 2005, when I was only in 10th grade, Smile.jpg was first brought to my attention by the burgeoning interest in web-based phenomena. Mary was the most often cited victim of what is sometimes referred to as Smile.dog, the being Smile.jpg is reputed to display. Caught my interest, other than the obvious macabre elements of the cyber legend and my proclivity towards such things, was the sheer lack of information, usually to the point that people don't believe it even exists other than as a rumor or hoax. It is unique because, though the entire phenomenon centers on a picture file, that file is nowhere to be found on the internet. Certainly, many photo-manipulated simulacra litter the web, showing up with the most frequency on sites such as the image board 4chan, particularly the X-focused paranormal subboard. It is suspected these are fakes because they do not have the effect the true Smile.jpg is believed to have, namely, sudden onset temporal lobe epilepsy and acute anxiety. This purported reaction in the viewer is one of the reasons the phantom-like Smile.jpg is regarded with such disdain. Since it was patently absurd, though depending on whom you ask, the reluctance to acknowledge Smile.jpg's existence might just be as much out of fear as it was out of disbelief. Neither Smile.jpg nor Smile.dog is mentioned anywhere on Wikipedia, though the website features articles on such other, perhaps more scandalous shock sites such as Hello.jpg, or Two Girls, One Cup. Any attempt to create a page pertaining to Smile.jpg is summarily deleted by any of the encyclopedia's many admins. Encounters with Smile.jpg are the stuff of internet legend. Mary E.'s story is not unique. There are unverified rumors of Smile.jpg showing up in the early days of Usenet, and even one persistent tale that in 2002, a hacker flooded the forums of humor and satire website Something Awful with a deluge of Smile.dog pictures, rendering almost half the forum's users at the time epileptic. It is also said that in the mid to late 90s that Smile.jpg circulated on Usenet, and as an attachment of a chain email with the subject Smile God Loves You, yet despite the huge exposure these stunts would generate, there are very few people who admit to having experienced any of them, and no trace of the file or any link has ever been discovered. Those who claim to have seen Smile.jpg often weakly joke that they were far too busy to save a copy of the picture to their hard drive. However, all alleged victims offer the same description of the photo. A dog-like creature, usually described as appearing similar to a husky, illuminated by the flash of a camera. It is sitting in a dim room, the only background detail that is visible being a human hand extending from the darkness near the left side of the frame. The hand is empty, but is usually described as beckoning. Of course, most attention is given to the dog, or dog creature, as some victims are more certain than others about what they claim to have seen. The muzzle of the beast is reputably split in a wide grin, revealing two rows of very white, very straight, sharp, and human-looking teeth. This is, of course, not a description given immediately after viewing the picture, but rather a recollection of the victims, who claim to have seen the picture endlessly repeated in their minds during the time they are, in reality, having epileptic fits. These fits are reported to continue indeterminably, often while the victim sleeps, resulting in very vivid and disturbing nightmares. These may be treated with medication, though in some cases it is more effective than others. Mary E., I assumed, was not on effective medication. That was why, after my visit into her apartment in 07, I sent out feelers to several folklore and urban legend-oriented news groups, websites, and mailing lists, hoping to find the name of a supposed victim of Smile.jpg, who felt more interested in talking about his experiences. For a time, nothing happened. And at length, I forgot completely about my pursuit since I had begun my freshman year of college and was quite busy. Mary contacted me via email, however, near the beginning of March 08. To me, from Mary E. at .net. Subject: last summer's interview. Terrence contacted me later that month with the news that his wife had killed herself. While cleaning up the various things she'd left behind, closing email accounts and the like, he happened upon the above message. He was a man in shambles. He wept as he told me to listen to his wife's advice. He'd found the diskette, he revealed, and burned it until it was nothing but a stinking pile of blackened plastic. Part that disturbed him, however, was how the diskette had hissed as it melted. Like sort of an animal, he said. It's at this point in the story where I should note that there is nothing between the from line and the subject, and then Terrence contacted me later. I don't know if there was something that has been lost in this repost, because this is a repost of this story. I will admit that I was a little uncertain about how to respond to this. At first, I thought perhaps it was a joke, with the couple belatedly playing with the situation in order to get a rise out of me. Quick check of several Chicago newspapers' online obituaries, however, proved that Mary E. was indeed dead. There was, of course, no mention of suicide in the article. Decided that, for the time at least, I would not further pursue the subject of Smile.jpg, especially since I had finals coming up at the end of May. But the world has odd ways of testing us. After a full year I'd returned from my disastrous interview with Mary, I received another email to JML at .com from ElzaHere82 at .com. Subject: smile. The final line chilled me to the bone. According to my email client, there was one file attached called naturally smile.jpg. I considered downloading it for some time. It was most likely a fake, I imagined, and even if it weren't, I was never wholly convinced of Smile.jpg's peculiar powers. Mary E.'s account had shaken me, yes, but she was probably mentally unbalanced anyway. After all, how could a simple image do what Smile.jpg was said to accomplish? What sort of creature was it that could break one's mind with only the power of the eye? If such things were patently absurd, then why did the legend exist at all? If I downloaded the image, if I looked at it, and if Mary turned out to be correct, if Smile.dog came to me in my dreams demanding I spread the word, what would I do? Would I live my life as Mary had, fighting against the urge to give in until I died? Or would I simply spread the word, eager to put it to rest? And if I chose the latter route, how could I do it? Whom would I burden in turn? If I went through with my earlier intention to write a short article about Smile.jpg, I decided I could attach it as evidence. And anyone who reads the article, anyone who took interest, would be affected. And even assuming the Smile.jpg attached to the email was genuine, would I be capricious enough to save myself in that manner? Could I spread the word? Yes. Yes, I could. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Smile.jpg. Now, I'm going to be serious and recap that even though this is an actual, like, big creepypasta, I never got to read this one, so I decided it would be kind of nice for me to have one that I didn't read yet. Right. However, rest assured that I know what Smile.jpg was before this. It's Smile creepy. Dog is freaky.
I don't like it.
But that's exactly why I love it. It's so messed up in a way as to just make you fear the Smile Dog. Like, I don't think an image would ever invoke such terrifying feelings as the Smile Dog image could. Even though it's clear patented bullshit fiction and clearly a folktale of the internet. I tip my hats to the unknown author of this one and just want to say thank you for such a big classic. This one also is awesome because it mentions BBSs, which is the proto-internet, more or less. So it actually makes sense that the real Smile Dog image would be dead by now. This one, if I was to guess if any creepypasta could have been real, which it isn't, this one would be the most likely just due to the fact that it's untraceably hard to tell if the smile.jpg image would be real. But that's exactly my thoughts. Let's turn it over to Britzy. What do you think about this one? I mean,
I don't like it. It's too creepy.
It's so cool to actually see new people get into some of these classic creepypastas, and there's a lot of them. But we decided to give you about two or three. I'm, again, sorry about the Sonic EXE thing, but I do want to keep these under 40 minutes for the Halloween stuff, especially because I got a bunch of bonuses to create as well.
Right. Even though it was creepy, I did like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I was looking for like Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. You always got to get in just a bit further than you're really willing to in Halloween, I think.
Right.
I don't think you should go...
It's supposed to be, like, creep out season.
Yeah. I don't think you should go far beyond what you think you can handle, but just go a toe out, you know?
Right.
Don't just feel like you need to watch Nightmare Before Christmas, Beetlejuice, maybe Hocus Pocus. Don't keep to the silly stuff. Really, just kind of let the dark swallow you a little. It gets fun. I promise you, if you're a horror fan, you'll love all three of these. And again, at some point I will make a Sonic EXE full reading bonus and also add it to this episode so that way this episode is complete. But this part of the episode will have been gone by the time that's been done, therefore rendering this audio completely lost. My name is John. That has been Britzy.
He's the nerdy.
She's the beautiful. And happy Halloween.